Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of February 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain segment with the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons outside of Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and hear a bit more about Kim China's acquisition of Syngenta. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. March contract down a penny and a half in the corn pit at $3.71. May at $3.76, a penny and a half lower. July down one and a quarter at $3.81 and a quarter. And December corn, $3.93 down a penny. Soy complex, March beans, nine and a half lower at $8.76 and three quarters. May at $8.79 and three quarters down nine. And July at $8.86 and a quarter, 8.5 cents lower. November soybeans at $8.89. down 8 cents. Bean meal futures at 270, 10 down 450. Bean oil for the day at 3098, up 19 cents. Wheat futures are up 4 and 3 quarters at the end of the day at $4.80. And July at 488 and a quarter, these in the soft red up 3. July hard red at 488 and a half, up 3 and a quarter. Live cattle futures from Chicago are currently trading the nearby contract at $136.90, they're up $1.17.5. April there at $138.82.5, $1.07.5 higher. Feeder cattle in the March contract at $158.22.5, up 37.5 cents. And lean hogs for the February at $64.72.5, up 52.5 cents. Just a quick reminder that we did expect to start sales today of our all-day ag outlook tickets. That will not be the case, just a back-end function that we need to make sure is working properly. Should start that tomorrow, so you can check out all the details of the all-day ag outlook on our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, but no sales yet today for the tickets. We'll start that probably tomorrow. I'll give you a phone number tomorrow as well to call, so get yourself ready for that. The all-day ag outlook is Tuesday, the 8th day of March over at the Beef House. It's a great event. I hope to see everybody there. Again, no sales today. We'll start tomorrow at willag.org.
Support comes from Country Financial, now through March hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois. Topics include updates to both the federal crop insurance program and the farm bill, and at most locations, how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information at countrycrop.com.
Let's check the outside markets as they're trading at this hour in the energy segment. February ethanol at a penny and 2 cents lower at $1.40 and 4 tenths of a cent at this hour. Crude oil at $32.28 has been rallying now for the day, up $2.42. Gasoline, the March contract, it's trading at $1.02 and a tenth. That's up 2 and a tenth of a cent. And diesel fuel for the day is 6 and 9 tenths of a cent higher. It's at $1.08. even for the afternoon. Natural gas at $2.03 and 9 cents, a penny and 4 tenths of a cent higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 170 points at 16,260. The U.S. dollar at 97.28 is down 0.16. And gold futures on the afternoon at $1,139.25, up $12 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, cloudy skies, a high of 39 degrees, breezy. West winds at 18 to 21, gusting to 31, and then tonight, cloudy, a low of 21. On a west wind at 11 to 17, gusting to 25. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny. A high tomorrow of 34 degrees, a west wind at 8 to 11, gusting to 16. Thursday evening, we'll have clear skies and drop down to a low of 24 degrees. Winds will turn to the south-southwest then at 6 to 8. Friday, mostly sunny skies. You think that brings us warmer temperatures? It does. 39 degrees on the west wind during the day on Friday at 7 miles an hour. Friday night, we'll drop to 27. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 44 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this third day of February. Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities joins us to talk about what happened in the marketplace today. Thanks, Merrill, for being with us this afternoon. Probably ought to start in the grains pit, where soybeans managed to slip, and wheat futures, on the other hand, managed a 4-cent gain. What was your view?
It seemed to me like your corn and soybeans had more effect from the weathers and the thoughts that we're going to see a little more rain in Argentina. That thing's an on-again, off-again type situation with the weather forecast as the models change. The wheat was higher, I'm thinking, basically due to some spreading from, like, selling corn, buying wheat, and from the fact that our dollar was severely lower today.
Yeah, so why does this make much of a difference?
Well, we're having a problem competing in the world market with wheat, and there's just an abundance of wheat. And with the dollar moving so much today, it would have helped our competitiveness in the wheat market. And that is the market suffering the most from exports right now.
And so the lower dollar making wheat more affordable across the planet, thus we got a 4-cent bump. However, the weather looking better in South America, and I guess that's one of the reasons that soybeans were down, though they've been locked in kind of a trading range, and it's really a battle at this point. And I'm thinking, and I don't know whether you are in this mind or not, is there a breakout to sometime in the month of February?
There very well could be. You'd have to get above probably 9.910 before you saw the market really take off. And that's, I don't know how plausible that is with the amount of grain that needs to be sold from U.S. farmers and from other world farmers that will take advantage of the market. I also kind of think that you might have seen some of the farmers, say South America, with a big drop in the current U.S. currency. That would affect a pretty decent drop in their actual price, and it seems like a lot of times to get farmers to sell, you got to have a price drop to wake them up.
Yeah, so I didn't say which direction it might break out to, and I was just thinking a breakout might be imminent, both either to the up or the downside, and we still have to figure that out. One of the things that will help out would be the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports. Those are due out next week. February is usually not a big month for the WASD numbers. However, we do incorporate into those what happened a bit more fully, though they're still in these set of numbers, the January final report from the United States Department of Agriculture. What do you think we'll see this month?
Well, I don't know that we'll see a lot of your production probably will stay the same. There's no reason to change that I can think of. The biggest items I'm looking at is a decrease in corn exports, a decrease in wheat exports, and probably a decrease in soybean crush, which will add a little bit to the ending numbers. And it's not going to be a big increase, but it's still showing an increase in our ending stocks.
What have farmers most often been asking you when they call in the last few days?
When are we going to get higher prices?
And you are probably not really able to give them a good explanation of that, but what have you been telling them to do?
Basically, they have to either take advantage of what they can right now and re-own with something on the board, whether it be futures or options. There is a way to sell some calls above the market, and as the market rallies up, you'll get that price. Mostly, it's a weather-driven prospect. In what I'm looking at, I'm looking for a spring rally, maybe some sort of pullback, and then if El Nino kicks in somewhat like 83, then you would see a later rally into the summer months.
Anything that we need to be watching on the livestock side of the marketplace? Hogs have been on a really quite a long, nice upward trend.
They're sideways right now, mildly higher, and I think they could rally up into the 74, 75 after we get done with the sideways to higher pattern and possibly make it up to 74, 75 after the middle of the month.
Anything for the cattle market at this time, too? And maybe the other item, rather than cattle, that we might discuss is where we are in crude oil and what your thoughts are on locking in some prices for diesel for the coming season.
Well, the cattle, I think they're in a large correction, and that correction could take us up to 140, 42. Then you need to be an aggressive seller. And then as far as the crude oil is concerned, I've been looking for another move down to the 24, 25 area. Today, though, gives you a little pause to think, because crude fired right back up after hitting the 618 level of the last move we just made up. So it dropped down, hit 618 of that last move up as a test of the recent low, and has given us a reversal to the upside today.
Yeah, so 618 is 61.8%. That's a Fibonacci number of the recent move, something that the algorithms and traders for a long time have been using in the marketplace to judge cycles, right?
Correct. You would need to see probably a move over 36 initially, and then see some follow-through to get up into the $50 range. But today's market action makes you think that maybe the lows are in. And so any time a guy would want to be setting in his fuel needs would be a good time now. You're not going to change your overall cost that much by waiting to the market to see if it's going to go to 24 or if it's going to get above 35.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. I do appreciate you filling in.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
You too. That's Merrill Crowley. He's with Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. He joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, ChemChina will purchase Swiss-based Syngenta for $43 billion. Bloomberg reports the Chinese government-owned entity is likely more than willing to pay cash for the deal, given the country's interest in becoming more agriculturally self-sufficient. However, the involvement of state entities could raise issues here in the United States, according to antitrust regulators, as agriculture can be considered a national security interest. Here's a list of five things to know about ChemChina. First, it began with a $10,000 Yuan loan. That's about $1,500 today. Back in 1984, it now has assets of $45 billion. That rise was overseen by a very charismatic and, for the world of Chinese state-owned enterprises, slightly unconventional chairman. The in-house newsletter carries reminders of Chinese Communist Party dictates, touts the company's ranking in Fortune's Global 500 list, and stresses the importance of sending flowers to your mother. If you eat rice, peppers, or sweet corn, ChemChina might soon have a bigger role in growing them in addition to corn, soybeans, and wheat. Syngenta's AG seed portfolio also includes fruits and vegetables. Item number three, if you wonder where China is headed, ChemChina's financials are a window into how tricky it is for state-owned enterprises to reform. To become more globally competitive, the Chinese Communist Party wants its state-owned enterprises to acquire forward-looking businesses, yet also get their balance sheets in order. ChemChina carried almost $37 billion in total liabilities as of September the 30th. Item 4, on January the 11th, ChemChina agreed to buy a German machinery manufacturer for about $1 billion. And item 5, the company is in charge of making tires too. Last year, ChemChina provided the bulk of the funding for about an $8 billion acquisition of Pirelli. That's the Italian-based tire maker that also gives Ferraris and Bentleys something to roll on. In other agricultural news for the day, the Centers for Disease Control says the E. coli outbreaks that plague Chipotle restaurants appear to be over, but that investigators have been unable to identify a specific food or ingredient linked to the illness. Investigators suggest that a common meal item or ingredient served at Chipotle restaurants is the likely culprit, yet advanced testing didn't identify any E. coli, and a review of distribution records proved unable to identify a single food item or ingredient that could explain either of the outbreaks. The CDC said during the investigation, Chipotle committed to several steps to improve sanitation practices and record keeping in their supply chain and restaurants. And finally today, the House Agriculture Committee has been telling House Budget Committee members not to cut agriculture further, saying agriculture has done its job reducing the deficit. The House Agriculture Committee's annual budget views and estimates letter comes after a successful panel bid last year to turn back $3 billion in crop insurance cuts. Committee Chair and Texas Republican Mike Conaway says the committee has done its fair share for deficit reduction, cutting $23 billion over 10 years through the Farm Bill and across-the-board cuts known as sequestration.
The committee's budget views and estimates letter we have before us this morning respectfully requests that the Budget Committee give careful consideration to the significant contributions toward deficit reduction made by the Committee on Agriculture and the substantial reforms these savings entail.
Those savings include elimination in the 2014 Farm Bill of direct payments to farmers. However, the appeal to the Budget Committee is not just about earlier agricultural budget cuts.
The letter also highlights the troubled economic conditions facing farm economy, including the estimated 55% drop in farm income over the past 2 years. Conditions have exacerbated by regulatory burdens and trade and tax uncertainties that should, in our opinion, be key factors when determining from which congressional committees and mission areas any future budget savings should come.
The panel told the Budget Committee that agriculture has done its duty for now in deficit reduction and that other areas that make up 98% of government spending should be looked at first when considering additional cuts. Over in the Senate, Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts and Ranking Democrat Debbie Stabenow remained locked on not reopening the Farm Bill, further protecting fiscal year 2017 agricultural spending. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Just a quick reminder that we are not yet selling tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook to be held at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 8th day of March. If you'd like to see the details, you can do that online at willag.org. And then starting tomorrow, we'll be selling those tickets both over the phone and taking your registrations right there at willag.org online for ticket sales. They'll be just $30, but we're not doing it yet. We'll start that again tomorrow. Now, up next, you know, we've talked a lot about big data and all that information that is flowing from the farm. Well, the American Farm Bureau Federation wants to hear what farmers are thinking about the whole big data debate. Michael Clements has more from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Farm Bureau is asking farmers to share their thoughts and experiences with ag tech providers that collect and sort through the oceans of data that stream from farm equipment into the cloud every day. Farm Bureau's Mary Kay Thatcher says the new survey aims to gauge farmers' attitudes towards big data and the use of data in production agriculture.
So we thought re-asking some of those questions would give us some indication about whether we've made any progress in the last 18 months and would also provide us some insight into some new issues. Sort of a multifunctional survey.
Thatcher says Farm Bureau wants to know more about transparency in data. Farm Bureau plans to roll out a transparency evaluator to help farmers look through contracts with data suppliers. Among other things, the tool will focus on who owns which data and what they may or may not do with it, as well as any liabilities that could result from lost, stolen, or mishandled data.
We want to make sure that farmers are thinking that that's a useful product and indeed that we covered the waterfront with that product. And we also definitely want to look at the whole idea of how are farmers storing data? Are they storing it? Where are they storing it? And are they feeling a need for anything new?
AFBF is encouraging all farmers and ranchers to take the online survey.
We had really good response in the first one. 3,800 farmers from around the country responded. So we're looking for good response this time, but encouraging folks to go on the Farm Bureau website if they didn't get the link or go to their state Farm Bureau and fill out probably a 6 or 7 minute survey.
Find the survey online at http://fbbigdata2016.questionpro.com. Michael Clements, Washington.
Our thanks to Michael Clements of NAFB, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, for that update on the AFBF survey. It might be easier if you just go to fb.org. That stands for Farm Bureau. fb.org, fb.org, and you'll find the survey there. There are a couple of them. It's under the Newsline segment that is in the latest news. It should be the first item. Is at the moment, but it's fairly quick and easy and simple to find. Again, the address you're really looking for is fb.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's jump over to the Climbers facility out of Logansport, Indiana, that belongs to the Andersons. Check in on the situation there. Pete Peterson is on the line. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
Great.
Well, tell me about movement of cash corn in your area.
Grain has moved recently, a little more than we thought. I think just some guys getting to the point in time where we've been kind of stuck in a cash rut here for quite some time, and guys, I think, in general are kind of throwing the towel. Weather's been conducive to movement of grain, and, you know, I guess it's kind of been beneficial to both parties.
And you've been able to operate that ethanol plant still at a profit?
Well, let's put it this way. The industry in general is right now, it's kind of in a real tight situation. We're continuing to stay in there and bat. You know, I think in general, you know, we all in this industry think, you know, we see a little bit higher crude prices. We all get along a little bit better. But things right now are staying about static.
What are your bids for the day for corn, by the way?
Let's see, right here for corn in the Climbers, we're at 391 at 15 over to over the May. We actually switched the May a couple of days ago, and that equates to about 20 over the March. And at our Climber, our Delphi facility on beans, we're at 5 under the March, which would be at 871.
And were you able on the run-up yesterday to buy many beans from soybeans or from farmers?
Oh. There was some out there. I'm not going to say it was a lot. I think right now, you know, the magic number is a $9. Processors, I think, right now have got their fill. Everybody in agriculture right now of our own kind of lean margins, crush and everything else on the bean side is affected the same way. So everybody is just kind of, you know, piecemealing as we go, and it's kind of a 30-day window at this point.
And we've been talking a lot about the movement of cash grain across to the Midwest from the west to the east. Do you see much of that happening?
We see some, not as much as you would once thought. You know, if you know, in general, you know, we have kind of a corn deficit area here after the flooding we had last spring. But with, like I said, with the ethanol margins not being the world's best this year, I think basis has been tapered a little bit. I'm not saying it won't go back up if we get a run like in crude, but at this point in time, basis is moderated a little bit to the point in time where not near as much is coming from the west as I once thought.
Does this surprise you?
It kind of does. Like you said, when you seen the situation we were in earlier in the year, thinking we see some big basis levels. And I think down the road, especially some of the feeders and stuff here, are going to be forced to replace corn that wasn't grown in the area. So you'll probably see more coming from the north and from the west.
And I know that farmers in your area are thinking, I'm going to hold and I'm going to continue to hold. Is that an idea worthwhile?
You know, I think in general, you know, it's been a tight year as far as balance sheets and or profits. I think I just don't want to get a guy out there hoping that the market has a potential to run up to magical numbers we've seen over the last few years. Realistically, we've been staying right around this 385 to 395 flat price rut. And, you know, if you get a four in front of it, I think a guy has to lighten the load a little bit. And in particular, you know, it just... you know, we want to get back and play the game again next year. And right now with the burdensome stocks across the nation, it's just tough to justify a big run-up in the futures markets.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Pete Peterson, of course, is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers facility out of Logansport, Indiana. Just a quick hello to David Ocker, who is a farmer running a planter this afternoon near Corpus Christi, Texas. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Carrot Cake Day. Carrots have been used in sweet cakes since at least the medieval period, at which time sweeteners were relatively scarce. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, the world's first commercial cheese factory was established in Switzerland. By the way, today there are some 450 types of cheese available in Switzerland. In 1823, Spencer Fullerton Braid was born. An American naturalist and zoologist, he was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institute. By the end of his tenure, the National Museum housed more than 2.5 million specimens and artifacts. In 1862, William Jackson Humphreys was born, an American atmospheric physicist. He applied basic physical laws to explain the optical, electrical, acoustical, and thermal properties of the atmosphere. In 1890, Christophorus Ballet died, a Dutch meteorologist. He is best known for his observation that wind blows at right angles to the atmospheric pressure gradient. And in 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. It gave Congress the power to levy taxes on income. In 1913, less than 1% of the population paid income tax at the rate of 1%. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this third day of February. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Drew, let's start by taking a look at the path of this great big winter storm that it's made its way across the United States, and then maybe some expectations for our part of the world in the coming week.
Certainly. The storm has been very impressive. In Nebraska, we've seen up to 18 inches of accumulation. In Iowa, 16 inches. Working our way up towards about a foot in Wisconsin. Today, the storm is mostly focused on Wisconsin and upper Michigan, at least from a snow perspective. Now, there's still a lot of rain falling from parts of Mississippi and Georgia, Alabama and Georgia, north, northeastward into the New England states. And as we go through the day today, the storm system will head off to the east very quickly. So the worst is over, with the exception of Wisconsin, perhaps. Now, in wake of the system is some cooler air moving southward. That's good news for places like Texas and Oklahoma, as well as the Delta and the lower Midwest, where temperatures got so warm this past weekend that we lost a lot of winter hardiness. And there's a couple of surges of very cold air that are slated to move across the central and eastern United States next week, and each one of those would raise the potential for some kind of crop threat if we didn't manage to cool down here over these next few days. So certainly that's a big plus. It will snow in the lower Midwest as we get out towards Sunday and Monday. We should put down enough snow to add protection for the crop there. Temperatures will probably come close to zero again in the lower Midwest as we get to midweek next week, so we'll have to watch that pretty closely. Also, maybe a threat in Florida for citrus country as we get out to Wednesday or Thursday of next week, probably Thursday. So it's pretty impressive cold air mass.
All right, then turn your attention to South America. What do we know about the crop conditions there as they are today on the ground? Your thoughts about the soybean crop in particular in Brazil, maybe the drier parts of Argentina as well.
Yeah, in Brazil, they're harvesting in each of the states right now. The harvest nationwide is about 4% done. Mato Grosso is 8% done. I think it's probably the most advanced state. But a lot of comments coming out are that the yields are down, as you might imagine, with kind of the harsh conditions that occurred for a while this year. The best yields are apparently coming out of places like Sao Paulo and neighboring areas of Paraná, where the crop weather was most appealing early in the season. And the outlook for Brazil is very good now. For the next 2 weeks, we'll see a good mix of rain and sunshine for most of the country, and temperatures should be seasonable. So I think we will continue to see an improvement in the crop conditions overall there, especially for late maturing crops. Argentina has some dryness issues that have evolved here recently in central and southeastern parts of the country. It is not critical quite yet. I think we're starting to stress the crop enough to lose some yield potential if it doesn't rain right away. But it looks like starting tomorrow and going through Monday, we should see enough shower and thunderstorm activity to fix that situation. And so it's a last-minute rain that should come along and help prevent those yields from dropping significantly.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. You have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on a Wednesday to take a look at the agricultural growing regions across the planet. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm